Hey Siri, intergalactic planetary.
Intergalactic planetary. Planetary intergalactic. Jazz and AWOL, that's our team. Step inside the party, disrupt the whole scene. When it comes to beats, well, I'm a fiend. I like my sugar with coffee and cream. Well, I gotta keep it going full steam. Too sweet to be sour, too nice to be mean. On the tough guy style, I'm not too keen. To try to change the world, I will plot and scheme. Beastie Boys known to let the beat drop.
Yeah, that's our introduction this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
I just thought I'd bring a special guest to the podcast there, Danny.
She certainly nailed it, that's for sure. Well, welcome to episode 3 of the WT Wrestling Travel podcast. It has been an interesting weekend for professional wrestling this past weekend and this week. I'm joined, of course, by the host of the Lockdown Sessions and our US Operations and Media Chief, Justin Clapper. How are you doing today, Justin?
Danny, JC is doing great over here today. I'm excited. I'm building back after the depression of Sunday, starting to get my mojo back, if you will.
If you will. Yeah, I mean, how are you feeling about the horror show at Extreme Rules, looking at it today as opposed to Monday when we did the review? Are your thoughts and feelings still the same?
You know, a couple of my thoughts have changed. We had SP3 on there, who really opened my eyes on the Bailey character, which I was thankful for. But no, my personal feelings have not improved on it. I'm just ready to move on. I'm afraid, being a traditionalist and a fan of pro wrestling, I'm just afraid that this corona is going to wipe out pro wrestling as we know it. That's my big fear. I know, big conspiracy theory, but you can't have a pay-per-view that leaves you way more questions than you have answered, in my opinion. You know what I mean? I know there's no such thing as a pay-per-view so much anymore. People are subscribed to the network, Danny, but I shouldn't be. I had a talk with one of our Lockdown Sessions guest, Tiny Love, last night. And as people in the business and people who love the business, we shouldn't be having a conversation where we're confused about, well, what, you know, on one thing, yeah, heck yeah. Leave me an unanswered question so I'm tuning in. But almost every match, wait, was that a title switch? Was that, wait, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the stutters in there were on purpose, because it's, you shouldn't leave your fan base confused. And in my opinion, the old pay-per-view model, or the monthly special, should be trying to draw in new fans. Keep your current fans entertained and awesome, but let them be able to introduce it to new fans. I just don't feel, when I sit down and watch that product, that I would be able to bring in somebody new and be like, hey, check this out. Whereas Impact Slammiversary, bro, I would have been calling everybody in the neighborhood to watch that. So that's my deep thoughts from a shallow mind today.
No, it's certainly, you mentioned there, an interesting time as to sort of what direction they're going in, whether they even know what direction they're going in at the moment, just with the whole pandemic, when live shows are going to return and things of that nature. But they did, of course, have Monday Night Raw on Monday, sort of the follow-up of the horror show at Extreme Rules. We did get some answers in regards to the Raw women's title situation. Stephanie McMahon appeared on the screen and announced that there would be a Raw women's title match next week between Sasha Banks and Asuka to decide who is the Raw women's champion. Do you feel that that is something that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, 100%. Anytime I can see Stephanie McMahon on television, I'm actually a big fan of it. She is a super, super great person, super proponent of women in the business. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that match. and maybe not a schmoz ending. Just what I get afraid of with WWE is we're gonna have Sasha and Asuka for the next 6 weeks.
Like a constant,
you know, back and forth. Constant. And while yeah, you know, a feud's gonna an old school feud would draw out, you know, over the course of weeks. But when you're on TV, and of course the TV match is rushed, you've got advertisers and everything. I don't want to see that. You know, they probably will stretch it out, to be honest with you, till SummerSlam. And I'm not going to be a big fan of that, but that's obviously – when is SummerSlam? Do you have a date at all?
Yeah, I think it's the 24th of August.
Okay, so yeah, then it just makes sense. They're not going to be able to start something new, or I won't see WWE doing it, so that'll be drawn out till SummerSlam is my prediction, and we will be a little bit sick of it. I hope I'm wrong, but that's my opinion. I have a question for you though, when we're ready to go next.
Yeah, of course. Feel free, Justin. What is your
all right? My question is, Danny, what have you heard, and what are your predictions for SummerSlam? Is at the Performance Center. Now we've confirmed that. Is that correct?
As far as we understand, yeah. Unfortunately, our travel package isn't able to go ahead with that, and the Performance Center is now,
of course, because of the fan station. What is happening with the Hall of Fame, my friend?
That is a good question. It's actually something I've not read about, actually, probably since WrestleMania weekend when it got cancelled. I don't really know what the plans are, when that's going to be reintroduced. Or are they just going to have the same lineup for next year if things are okay again? It's one that's still up in the air as far as I'm aware. Have you heard anything at all?
I haven't, and that's why I'm curious, because you usually have your fingers right on the pulse of what's going on, and SVP usually does too, and I haven't had a chance to ask him. SP3, I keep calling him Scott Van Pelt. So, Sid, because what I'm wondering is, this brings up a bigger discussion. Do we go on with the Hall of Fame in sort of a virtual coronavirus environment where there is no fans, based on what happened with Bret the Hitman Hart last year? I mean, because they were going to have to change the setup a little bit. I hate when we have an asshole, crazy fan change everything for us, where WWE invites us in this great ceremony. But I mean, so I didn't know if there was any talk around the internet about what's gonna happen, because do they maybe want to go to a fanless type Hall of Fame? But it would lose its feel, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that annoys me about the Hall of Fame, and the ones that I've been to when I've been over for WrestleMania, is it is usually the when people are doing their speeches or they're into like a deep story, you'll get fans sort of shouting things out or, you know, inappropriate things at the wrong time, if you know what I mean, which sort of ruins the experience. I remember the sort of first WrestleMania I went to in Detroit. It was at a small theater, the Fox Theater in Detroit. And the fans that night were, you know, shouting at people on the stage when they were doing their speech and things of that nature. It's a difficult one, I think, because obviously you, as fans, you want to get involved and you want to, you know, be a part of it and everything. But I wouldn't mind if it was without anybody there to see it, like you say, maybe virtually or things of that nature. You can actually then sit back and enjoy the stories, people talking about their careers. But yeah, very interested to see how that will go on moving forward. I mean, what's your thought on the fans when they're at the Hall of Fame and obviously they're making, shouting out things when people are making their speech? Do you get do you get offended by that at all?
100%. Because whether or not a lot of people say, the vet told the WWE just gives them a wood plaque worth $20. But to some people, especially when they're out of the limelight for a while, That's all they got, the chance to, that's the an honor to be recognized and get the whole world's eyes on you. So when you have a, it's like the fans don't get it. Like, this is the time to be very respectful. Now, when you get a call out of a one more match or something that kind of pops the Hall of Famer, that's kind of cool. But yeah, that's annoying. I'll give you an example. I had a ticket to go to the Hall of Fame last year in New York, and the G1 climax was across the street, Ring of Honor. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to go to that because I don't want to be sitting a bunch of smart marks that are doing stuff like that. I think it's a disrespect to the wrestlers. And plus, I want to hear the stories.
Yeah.
It's my favorite time of year to, listen to the Rock and Roll Express stories, or when Road Warrior Animal and Paul Ellering, Ric Flair, them guys are telling stories. I love it. It gives us, as people outside of the bigger echelon of the business, a little insider peek. And for those guys to be gracious enough to bring us along with these stories, when you start shouting disrespectful stuff, I almost swore there. But the fans trying to take over the show.
Well, yeah.
Attention on me. Well, guess what? No. We're paying homage to I will say this. We're paying homage to the wrestlers, but I will say this. The one good thing that I saw out of the guy attacking Bret Hart was everybody, the wrestlers, getting to take a shot at him.
Yes.
For walking him out. I always love that. I always say fans, remain a fan. Stay in your seats. If you enter the ring or the arena, you're going to get – it's not going to be fun. So, yeah, I hope – but let's keep an eye on that story. I think I haven't heard anybody talking about it, but maybe as Wrestling Travel, we do some research and maybe get some of the other outlets buzzing about it and find out some info on the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we'll certainly have a look into it after this recording, and maybe we'll be able to give an update next week on that on the podcast. Yeah, another piece of interesting news that came out of Monday Night Raw was the taping for Raw this week was apparently Kairi Sane's last taping for WWE. She will not be re-signing with the company there. Her contract is due to expire. And for her to leave the company. What's your feelings about that, JC?
Hey, as a fan, it makes me very sad. But for her to be able to make that decision for herself, and in this time of craziness, maybe to get herself back home and obviously wrestling for other promotions, I hope she's continuing to go on. I haven't read too much into it, like what's the plan and what's going beyond it. But a lot of these wrestlers, and we saw by the exodus of the people out of WWE and into Impact, not used very well by WWE. I do believe once we got into having many other companies, wasn't WWE kind of signing a bunch of people and signing these, as many of these guys off the streets and from different promotions as they can? And then suddenly you've got a plethora of talent. And I know they're all over the place and they got a lot of hours on TV, but some of these talents, and Kairi Sane being talented, are very underutilized and underused. So I can see where, as people go out, and even in the indie scene before things went crazy, people were making a lot more money controlling their own destiny than they were signing with the biggest company in the world. So while I will miss, it might just be a little bit harder or more difficult for me to find her wherever she lands, but I will look for her because I think she's a great talent. So I wish her all the best.
Yeah, we all wish her the best at Wrestling Travel, whatever.
She shows up at Wrestle Kingdom and we as wrestling traveler are there and get to see her live.
Now that would be cool, wouldn't it? It would certainly be cool. And also coming out of Monday Night Raw, JC, there's an interesting bit that I want to discuss with you now, and that is the current status of Randy Orton, who I think is absolutely killing it at the minute on Raw, reviving his legend killer gimmick and going to that place that we like Randy Orton to go to, where he's doing the punt. Unfortunately, this week's victim was The Big Show, and there is speculation that Randy Orton will face Drew McIntyre for the WWE title at SummerSlam. But what are your thoughts on Randy Orton at the moment, Justin?
Well, here's my thing, and I know if our boy from True Heel Heat was here, he'd set me straight. Randy in the ring is like clockwork. He's amazing. I've always been a little bit disappointed in, like, his promos. But, you know, we're – and a lot of fans like his promos. I just personally been like – and I don't know what it is. I don't know what else he can bring. It's just some, you know, you have something in your head and you're like, man, I can't figure out what it is.
Voices in your head.
It's voices in my head. That's probably it.
Do they talk to you?
They talk to me. They talk to me. That was my double talk to me. Here's the thing. Love, he's a legend. Not just a legend killer, but he's now reaching that legendary status.
Yeah.
If you can give me Randy versus Drew and not do any cinematic bullshit, pardon my language, I'm 100%. But I get to be, I kind of like every wrestling fan, there's people that when they come in, you don't really like them. They're not your cup of tea. But when they've been around 10 years, 15 years, you find yourself, you know, going to that side and then respecting the career that they've had. Now, dude, his work in the ring is second to none. And Drew is killing it. It's just that what I'm concerned about, and I hate to pull back the curtain, is does Drew McIntyre lose this WWE title before he has a chance to be the champion in front of fans? That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, no, I get it. It should be a massive hit in front of a live audience, unless there's something in the pipeline where he does lose it and then win it back in front of an audience like it was.
Yeah, he's another veteran that just deserves to hear that crowd pop with the belt. But at the same time, we can't be predictable and go, okay, well, Drew's going to keep the belt until we can get in front of a live crowd. I just, you know, I'm going to go back to Impact. Impact, one of the big things that they've impressed me with is they've killed a lot of the internet rumors. I didn't know what was happening. I tried to stay away from them as well. But we had genuine surprises. And even some of the people that we knew, I mean, you were expecting the Good Brothers to come out in the tag team division, and they're doing a good job staying one step ahead of us. We're WWE, you know, it's harder, they're bigger, I don't know, but I don't like the predictability. I really want to see Randy versus Drew, but I want to see it in front of a crowd so badly.
Yeah. But yeah, sorry to get this wrong, JC, but Randy's a 13-time world champion, not 10. Didn't even realize.
That's all right. I called Vern Gagne the 10-time world champion like a 3 or 4 time last week. I'm supposed to be all about the AWA. But do you think Randy Orton's the guy who goes down that cinematic match road? I don't think so.
Well, he had the one with Bray Wyatt, didn't he, a few years back?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, where they burned down the...
Was it the House of Horrors or something?
Okay. You know how quickly those cinematic matches leave my memory. Okay.
Well, I guess it was a very quick one, though, wasn't it? I don't think it lasted too long, but it was... But, like, again, it was one of those cinematic matches that was rare. We hadn't really seen anything quite like it before. where they're being overdone now. So it did have its
special really,
that time, I think.
That's a really valid thing that you bring up here, because that was done in front of a live audience too. So they had to watch the, I don't know if they call it the Titantron anymore, but some fans in attendance are watching that. I'm not all about that. I mean, I can't imagine paying my ticket and going to WrestleMania at one of the bigger matches. We are all sitting watching on a screen. Although, speaking of watching matches on a screen, WrestleMania and Randy Orton, I guess I'd rather watch Orton on a cinematic match in a screen live at WrestleMania than the AJ Styles Orton match that we went to last year with the blinding lights, to quote The Weeknd. You couldn't even see the match. I had to watch it on a screen.
Did you not have any sunglasses at all?
I don't. Unlike Corey Hart, I do not wear my sunglasses at night. That's an American music reference. I'm going to have you Google that, all you people in the UK afterwards. Some of you got it, Danny.
It's
a song reference. It went over your head. That's, you know why? It's probably not because it's an American song reference. It's probably like everything I do. It's old school, and I need to get with the times.
Yeah, and speaking of getting with the times, Impact Wrestling certainly are getting with the times and becoming ever so popular, especially this week. Did you manage to see anything from Impact at all this week? So I know that it also airs on Twitch, apparently, which I wasn't aware of, if you're not able to see it on Access TV. Did you manage to see anything of it at all?
No. I had a bit of a family emergency on Tuesday night, which that made me completely forget about it. But I did see the result of the tag team title match, which I was so disappointed after the fact, is that I looked forward to it, I hyped it, and then, you know, life happens and I missed it. So,
yeah, I mean,
enlighten me.
It's supposed to be a very good match, that. So, I mean, I've not checked it out yet, but I do have plans to watch to catch up this week, maybe tomorrow, to see the full show. But did you see that there was another surprise debut on the show?
I did, and I don't know what they're calling him, but he came out in his Brian Myers came out, correct?
Yeah, Brian Myers is the latest addition to the roster there, yeah.
Is he going by his name, Brian Myers?
And I'm not 100% sure. I've seen just a photo and I think with like a sort of mask.
Right, I saw the same thing. That's cool, man. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's an interesting one with Brian. He's never really surpassed a certain level with WWE, has he? He's always been at that same level, never reached a... I mean, of course, he had his run with Zack Ryder when he was with Edge, when he was world champion, the Edgeheads, whatever they were called. But yeah, he's never really gone up to a different level. He's always seemed, for me, remained at that same level. So hopefully now with Impact, we'll actually see exactly what he's all about.
Right. Here's what I'm afraid of with Impact. I love them to death. Now we've got quite a big new influx of talent. I don't want them to make a mistake. And, you know, we've got to have room for everybody. So I still want them pushing, obviously, like the Chris Bays and the North and all these guys, while still utilizing. I don't want to see Brian Myers come in and do an also-ran gimmick. Do you remember when they got Aaron Stevens?
Yeah.
Formerly known as Damian Sandow. I was excited to see what they could do with him, and it just kind of fizzled out. But I don't think they'll make the same mistake twice. I hope they keep challenging themselves and building on this buzz that they have around Slammiversary. And even I'll go back to the, I always mention it, the Bound for Glory, where we were partnered up with Impact. When I got a chance to see him, boy, great stuff going on in the ring. I love that they have not, as far as I know, they haven't really gone down the, of course, they were the originals, but the cinematic stuff as of late. I love that they can stick to wrestling. They got a whole bunch of new talent in there that they can pair up with their current talent. And I think there's a chance to do in a lot of special things. And man, I just wish they were easier to find. But now that I know that they're on Twitch, I just have to figure out how to work Twitch and I can see them. That's good news.
Yeah. No, I saw that the other night. I forgot to mention it to you actually, that they were, I saw that they were on there, but no, like you said, they're doing great things and hopefully they can, continue to do great things. I think they've got some great people in charge as well there, guys like Scott D'Amore and Don Callis. They've got a lot of wrestling guys behind there running the ship. So I think that is a great step for them, of course.
Right, and Josh Matthews.
And Josh, yeah, he's the...
I've got to re-email him. I think I go to his junk email file, but watching him on Twitter just... going out of his way to thank a lot of people behind the scenes, I think is a big, big, a big thing. And say what people want to say about people in the business. I got a chance to shake Josh's hand at Bound for Glory. He had no time for me at all because obviously he's busy. But until somebody treats me like crap, then I'm not going to join the internet bandwagon of, oh, he's a jerk or she's a jerk. You know, I judge people for myself. And so far he's treated us nothing but the best. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, no, we've had some great conversations with Josh in the past. He's a really good guy. And as we say, a great guy for Impact to have and behind the scenes there with the running of the ship, definitely.
You remember, I know I keep on interrupting you, but do you remember when Josh was on Tough Enough? Or am I too old for you?
No, it's funny you say that. So I was watching a video on YouTube the other night when Triple H was giving them a grilling in the ring, making them take bumps. And there was Josh and a few others just looking on. But yeah, I remember. Definitely remember.
I mean, so he's a great story himself, taking a... an opportunity like Tough Enough and turning it into what's been an outstanding career.
Yeah, you know, he's been in, I can't remember, what year was that, 2002, 2003?
Early 2000s, yes. I can't remember who was on the cast, but I go back, I used to watch that show religiously, and then when the network had it, I watched it again, and I remember all these guys who never made it, these guys and gals, and some of them that did, but some of the ones that were my favorite characters are the ones that never made it. Jake with the great hairstyle, the big dude. He's one guy I'd like to get on Lockdown Sessions, but it's hard to track down some of these guys that have just kind of had their cup of coffee in the big time and then have gone back to regular. But this would be cool to do a Tough Enough catch up.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool to try and get Josh on as well to talk about his long career in the business as well. I think he's got, will have plenty of stories to tell. Definitely.
Let me ask you this: speaking of Tough Enough, and I didn't get a chance to watch it, and I don't mean to talk about it where we've been. We're in different time zones, lack of sleep, but it looks like Ivelisse made her debut on AEW, speaking of Tough Enough. I just saw somebody had pictures. I don't know if that was on a Dark or that was on a Dynamite, but just a little quick shout-out to a former Tough Enough competitor.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that, to be honest, but no, great news to see that, as you say, some of those are still – managing to make it in the wrestling world, but and certainly a good acquisition for AEW if they're keeping them moving forward.
Now, one more quick question. I know we said we probably weren't going to talk about NXT or AEW just because we've been. I'll be honest with you, the listeners, you and I have been doing a lot of behind the scenes busy work to make everything bigger, better and badder. But I did see something before he got on. AEW's talking about a women's tag title. Did you hear that?
It's something I've not seen myself, but I think that would be a fantastic addition. What do you think?
Well, as somebody put it very eloquently on my Facebook feed, it would be great because I think it would open many doors for more women to wrestle, but they need to probably sign a few more women and make sure they're taking that very seriously. And I hate to see titles where they open up a title and then they lose interest in it, or they don't have enough talent to keep pushing it. But any more opportunities for women to wrestle in, you know, you look at one of our most recent lockdown session guest, Danny Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, you get a tag team title going, it's more opportunities for great people in the business like that. So, well, I guess we'll leave it as kind of a mystery right now, since we need to do a little more research, but I thought we'd get the buzz going talking about it, and we'll see where it's at next week.
Yeah, no, it has been a busy week, of course, there, and obviously with yourself just dealing with other things as well outside of the wrestling world. We do try our best to keep up with the action, but I mean, with so much of it going on, it sometimes can slip through our fingers, and we're not able to keep up today, and especially because we record this the day after NXT AEW. Maybe we need to do a podcast special just for those episodes alone.
Yeah, I mean, if we got the listeners, I'm all about it. But one of the things I want to point out is that when you're lucky enough, like you and I, to work very closely with the business, and as we try to improve, we're trying to improve at YouTube. We're partnering up with look at our boys at True Heel Heat that are killing it. Our boys and girl, Chrissy Love, I can't forget about her. But there's a lot of business that happens behind the scene. We're not your normal, even though we might sound like it, we're not your normal, hey, let two fans, let's just record something and talk about it. We're putting in a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure that we are providing the best content that we can on all platforms. So a lot of times, I know we've been on a couple business calls together this week. So, well, I want to put up the facade that Danny and I just sit around, watch wrestling, and talk about it. How great would that be, Danny? But
that would be the dream, wouldn't it?
It would be the dream, and we are living the dream. But I guess you and I would probably get bored of that. So it's kind of cool that we're always looking, and people are reaching out to us, and we're able to help wrestlers and wrestling business by doing what you do behind the scenes. So my apologies for bringing stuff up that Danny and I are kind of like, hey, it's news to us. But, you know, if it's news to us, it's news to you. And that's what we're here on the podcast to. We want to engage with people listening, to encourage them to write in, ask us questions, opinions on stuff, and make this as interactive as we can.
Most definitely. And just moving on now to New Japan Pro Wrestling, NJPW does return this Saturday for another special event, Sengoku Lord in Nagoya, which will feature the first title defense, well, both titles, the IWGP title, heavyweight title, and intercontinental title from Evil. And that event will be covered on wrestlingtravel.org this Saturday. And you can also watch that event exclusively on New Japan World by subscribing there. It is around sort of $10, £7 a month. So make sure you check that out, as New Japan events keep coming thick and fast, with some great, great matches. And of course, hopefully soon they'll have their full roster back to make it even bigger and better.
No, that's awesome. I can't wait to pay attention to the live blog and see what they're doing for fans. If they're still, you know, if we can get kind of a good eyeball on the fans. And let me say this about Evil. If you're not watching Evil, you don't know Dick Togo.
He made his return to the ring the other day. Did Dick Togo? He looked well, very well.
Yeah, I'm a little fuzzy on the New Japan stuff anyway. As you know, it comes on at ridiculous o'clock. Plus with the week that we've had. So I'm always glad that, like, you, our guys over at True Heel Heat are always on top of it, because it helps me along. And I want to say that to the fans that like wrestling and want to get into wrestling, is following your live blog, following other people like True Heel Heat that cover it, really helps me a lot, because it's, you kind of pick up the action that I'm missing, and you get me more interested in the product and trying to find it and trying to make more of an effort to see it. So I want to say, you, the man of very little sleep, doing it all for fans across the world, that we appreciate you, brother.
No, it's always fun to do those blogs and try to make them as easy as possible for people to sort of scroll through and pick up what's happening. So we'll be back with that again. I'll be starting that, I think, at 9:30 a.m. British Standard Time. So I think that's very early in the morning for you guys in the States. But yeah, I'll certainly be covering that on Saturday.
Well, the good news is we can always catch you later, right, when we wake up?
Exactly, yeah. You're able to on the website and check out all the action there. Just make sure you scroll to the bottom of the page where it'll all start, and you can probably get through it fairly swiftly to see what's been going on. So it's always good to check back as well once you've awoken.
Awesome.
And coming up next here on the Wrestling Travel Podcast, we have another special lockdown sessions with one of the first ever lockdown sessions that Justin Clapper did with the interview queen, Alicia Atout. Check this one out now.
Justin with Wrestling Travel USA, and we're super excited to have Alicia Atout with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Justin. This whole thing has been really crazy the last couple of weeks. I've been home for 2 weeks straight now. It's been a lot. So I'm doing well, but I'm not up to much.
I hear you. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to do this. I'm gonna step in as a temporary content provider for Wrestling Travel here in the U.S. Just so people have something different to watch. I mean, what will be another option of the countless streaming things. And also by interviewing people like you, also a way to go, hey, you know, she's got some cool stuff out on the internet that I probably want to check out, which is kind of where I want to start with you. You've got your start. Most of everybody I know knows you from the world of professional wrestling. But you started long ago before that with Ambi, interviewing different musical artists. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I started Ambi, which stood for a music blog. Yeah. I started that when I was about 16 years old. For about the first 2 years, I just posted online song reviews. I listened to a record I really liked, would type something up and just post it on the blog. It was just something to kind of kill time in school. And then it got to a point where I was at a concert seeing one of my favorite bands with my sister and my dad. And my dad was like, why don't you interview the band? Like, ask them 2 questions, no big deal. And I was like, I was like literally about to shat my pants. And I did it and posted online, and the response for whatever reason was really good. So then I was kind of in the mindset of, okay, well, if this is working and I get to like meet my favorite bands for free, why not start lining up interviews? So it was a complete hobby. I was just doing it for fun. I got to meet the people I idolized, have some of their time, and I'd always get free concert tickets. So I was like living the dream as a teenager who loved music. And then it got to a point where we noticed that there was, you know, a lot of videos accumulating and they were getting a lot of views. And so I was at that point where I was about to graduate high school. I'm like, what am I doing? And I was accepted to a bunch of places. I didn't really want to go to them. And I just decided, you know what, let's just focus on the blog and see what happens. And next thing you know, I was interviewing like really big bands. And then once the site got really big because of music, the thought came along, why don't we try interviewing some wrestlers too, since I've been a wrestling fan for a long time. And then it kind of organically just happened like that.
Perfect. So that's where I want to make that transition. So you've been a wrestling fan for just as long as you've known, or when did you, where was your start in your fandom, let's say?
Yes. So that all started from when I was a kid, because I would watch it with my dad. He'd have a bunch of buddies over after like playing basketball across the street. They'd be chilling in the basement. And then I'd just be like sat on the couch with them, and I would watch it. And then, you know, there's that time or the period of time where I didn't really phase out of it, and I would just keep watching it. And then of course, like most people, like you fall out for a couple of years and you get back on the bandwagon and la la la. But yeah, so I've been a fan since I was a kid.
Do you have a favorite, like when you were a kid, wrestler?
Yeah, I loved Chris Jericho. I loved The Rock. I loved Cena. I feel like those are like pretty big ones for 90s kids, especially, you know. I just thought they were like three of the most charismatic and fun people to watch. So my eyes were always drawn to them. So those were like three of my favorites when I was little. And Edge. I like loved Edge a ton. And Beth Phoenix. Oh, love her. So those, yeah, those are a few.
Cool. And as time has gone on, obviously you've gotten into wrestling. Now, at the end, I want to kind of give your links and stuff, and I want to give, we're primarily based out of the United Kingdom, as you know, but we go all over the world, and I want to give people links to how they can catch up with you and your content. But this might be on me now. If I go to Ambi on YouTube, it kind of is covering both worlds right now. Is that accurate or not really?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first started, for the first like 4 years, I was only interviewing musicians. I just kept the name as a music blog. Yeah, because it was, ooh, nice one, bud. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no, rookie mistake.
I'm just messing about.
Hey, at least it means, hey, somebody's following me on Twitter, so.
Oh, look at you racking up the numbers.
Yeah, they probably got two followers themselves, and hey.
But yeah, so for the first few years, it was just a music blog. Yeah, because it was just a blog talking about music. And then I started realizing, it got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm not just doing concert photography. I'm not just interviewing bands. I'm now interviewing a whole other industry and genre of people. So I decided, let's strip away a music blog. Yeah, and just shorten it to Ambi, just because all my Google searches were coming from that and my name. And then it got to a point where everyone just started knowing me by name. And now, like, I have the Interview Queen moniker and stuff, which is super cool. So I was able to kind of just ditch the Ambi part on most platforms. And now it's just, you know, if you search me, if you know, if you want my interviews, you just type my name up. So it's kind of ditched, but it's still the same platform. If you go to one YouTube channel, it's both of the content.
Right. That's cool. And I actually, because I'm American, and actually the first time I actually saw some of your interviews was last summer. Ironically, while I was in Toronto for SummerSlam, right. And you and I were in the same building, but we hadn't actually met yet. But I saw your interview with Toni Storm, and I thought it was great, because the way you do interviews is not atypical. And I mean this as a compliment. It's not your typical what I'm doing here. Hey, when you're interviewing a wrestler, like, what's your favorite match? Who is your favorite opponent? You know, you go so far away from that. And kind of circle around that. It's an awesome interviewing platform, is what I gotta say. So
thank you.
We're gonna give that out at the end. I'm gonna actually do this and say one of our lovely producers will put that right on the screen right now, knowing that that might not happen at all. But I feel cool saying that. MLW. Now that recently, maybe around Christmas time, December, November. That you signed on with them, and I know they're available on YouTube. And you're doing a lot of work with them, but you recently had a trip to, was that your last trip now to Mexico? Is that the last trip that you took?
Yeah, Mexico was so bittersweet, because it was the most incredible experience. MLW had a co-promotion with AAA. We were in such an iconic venue in Tijuana, Mexico. The crowd was 5,000 people, sold out, just roaring. Like, you're literally with like legends from there, and then we have our roster coming in facing them. It was like a clash of promotions, and just working with Conan there was so special, doing promos with everybody, and then just watching like tons of my friends wrestle in front of 5,000 people was insane. At the same time, that's the sweet part. The bitter part is we're all like sitting in the locker room, and as we're sitting there, you know, this was like 2 weeks back, So 2.5 maybe, this is where like everyone's bookings are starting to get canceled. Everyone's starting to realize, oh no, this might be our last show for who knows how long. At one point we were like, oh, are we going to be stranded in Mexico? Like, you just don't know. Cause I think they closed the border from Mexico to Canada 2 days after I got back home. So like, it was just a very hectic time. We obviously made the best of it because it was such an incredible show. But at the same time, like in the back of your mind, you're just thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, this is going to be my last show for months. Like, who knows? But I mean, if that is the case, it was a really good show to go out on for a while. But we always want more. We're killing it right now, MLW. Like, we have so much lined up. We just want to get back out there. So, of course, safety comes first. But yeah, that was my last show, and it was really good.
I remember keeping track of you online through your social media going, man, hopefully she makes it back home, because I was actually ironically in Toronto the week before that. And there was so much on the news that I'm like, holy hell, I want to get back before they do say, hey, everybody just, you know, huddle in place where you're at. So luckily, well, hopefully we're going to get back to some sense of normal. I can't wait to get back out. Ironically, you and I should be having this conversation personally or in person in Tampa at this point. If all things were back to normal.
Actually, that's the most bizarre part of it. You think like my flight would have been, it would have either been last night, because I had my flights booked. Like, it would have been last night or this morning. I would have been in Tampa by now, just like hosting the living daylights out of stuff. And it's just to think that we're at home. Like, I've been doing tons of Skype interviews just like this. And it's a total 180 of what you were looking forward to and thinking was going to happen months ago. Oh my God. I just realized I still have this like fake temporary tattoo on my arm. That's so funny.
Where's that from?
We've been so bored. I bought these temporary tats like a couple years ago. And so I was in the backyard with my mom, and I was like, we were talking about tattoos. We watch Ink Master, and I don't have any. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have these like temporary tats. And mom's like, yeah, let's get some ink. And we were just joking about. So I have this like really awful feather tattoo.
I just want to screenshot that and then have like one of those tabloid bylines, like Alicia has a new tattoo. And then you click on it and it goes, yeah, it's a temporary tattoo that she has.
Right.
And you're like, oh.
You're cool, everybody.
Yeah, so this time, as wrestling travel, we would have had a lot of special surprise guests for the people that do book on with us. And obviously we do a lot of work with you. We appreciate it. We were going to work around your schedule and get you out there to meet some of our new travelers. But one of the, I think I can let the cat out of the bag now, since there's no cat and there's no bag anymore. We were going to have Miss Vicky Guerrero working with us on a chance for our fans to meet. And you are working currently with Vicky on her podcast. Can you tell me how that all came about?
Yeah, it's so cool. So the first time I met Vicky was at last year's WrestleCon, funny enough. I walked up to her table, introduced myself. I mentioned, like, you know, I've interviewed her daughter, Shawl, before, and I just wanted to say, hey, because I love Vicky Guerrero so much. Like, I used to walk around the house as a child, just, excuse me, like, driving my parents mad. So I met her, and she was so sweet. And then last summer, I was hosting at a big convention in Jacksonville, and she was signing a few rows down. So I reintroduced myself, and she was like, oh my gosh, I follow you on social media, I love what you're all about. And we just hit it off. We ended up actually driving to the airport together after the convention and like talking for, you know, the half hour drive, just getting to know each other. And the next thing you know, a couple months ago, her producer Jerry reached out to me, and he's like, hey, we have our Excuse Me podcast. We're looking to partner with people. We're really interested in you. How do you feel about having your own segment on our weekly show? And I was like, yeah, like, of course. I'm not going to say no to Vicky Guerrero. So it's really fun. It's a segment on her Excuse Me podcast. It's called Tales from the Interview Queen. I take you kind of behind the scenes for my experiences, my, you know, places I've traveled wrestlers I just hang out with, interview little snippets and exclusives, and I just kind of bring you into my world and tell everyone like a 2-minute tale. It's the simplest idea and people love it, and I'm just really glad that I was, you know, given the chance to work with her. It's been awesome.
That's awesome. We're hoping that we can transfer our work with Vicky to another event that we do, if not sooner, hopefully WrestleMania 37, which we're already planning. It's actually given us at Wrestling Travel, if there's a silver lining anywhere, it was, all right, now we've got a whole more than a year to plan what we can do for WrestleMania 37 and make it. We always try to make it bigger and better, but we really want to pull out all the stops now, just at almost like our hopefully events start up long before then, but kind of our big return back to bringing people from all over the world to WrestleMania. Are there any other podcasts that you do any regular appearances on? I know you're a guest here and there, but I just want to make sure I'm not missing out on anything.
No, it's interesting. That's the only one where I'm like a consistent guest on week after week. But I've been filming a ton. Like, it's weird always being asked the questions. Like, it's always super bizarre because I like the control. I like being able to kind of, you know, steer where the conversation goes. So I've been doing a lot of guesting on just random podcasts. I have a lot of people reach out to me saying, hey, we really like what you're all about. Would you, you know, give us a few minutes? I'm like, yeah, of course, like, it'll be fun. So I've been doing just a ton of guest spots, and any of those I'm on, I tweet out, I retweet. So if you go through my socials, like, you'll see a bunch of those. But the Vicky one is the main one that I, you know, have a week after week appearance on. So
fantastic. And as you can tell with my great interviewing skills, I'm not in too much control of the interview. One of my final questions, and I'm taking inspiration from your interviews.
Ooh.
This is it. Most people would say, you're interviewing Alicia, you want to talk to her about Ambi, you want to talk to her about her wrestling interviews. But I'm going to go total 180 on you. This is my Alicia Atu question of the day. What is your favorite type of poutine?
Ah, yes. See, no one wants to really talk about the music or wrestling. We just want to talk about food. Okay, so let's get into this. Poutine.
Here we go.
I like a decently thin fry that's crispy but not hard. I like when it's kind of has that, like, softness in the middle. So you need a good crispy fry to hold up and, you know, be able to consume all that delicious brown gravy. I like a beef gravy. And then you need those squeaky cheese curds, like the ones that almost look like tiny matzo balls, but they're cheese curds, the white ones, because they're like, I think the flavor profile of those is way better than the cheddar. So, I'm so hungry. It sucks being stuck at home. I totally understand. No, hear me out. I'm going somewhere. So I'm a sucker for Uber Eats. Like, once a week, I'll treat myself with something, whether it's like sushi, a burrito, even McDonald's if I'm craving it. Like, I just like breaking it up. Not being able to do, I sound like so just ridiculous and like such a little turd, but like, I miss just being able to be like, oh, pasta tonight? Sweet, let's order what you're craving. And so not being able to do that has been so weird. And I can't wait until this quarantine's finished and I can just pig out on, like, everything I'm craving. Because I literally haven't left the house in 2 weeks, like, straight. So I'm going to get some poutine when this whole thing's over.
I'm glad I asked the question. So on that, you've been in the house for 2 weeks. Have you improved your cooking skills?
No. No? It's interesting. Like, I live at home with my sister, who's 22, she's a nurse, and my mom and dad. So it's interesting because, like, my parents are amazing cooks, so I eat like a queen every single night. So it's not that there's, like, no good meals. It's just, you know, when you're, like, craving that one dish that almost, like, can be made at home, or it's just, it's actually cheaper to buy it and whatnot. It's like, oh, I miss that so much. I miss just being like, oh, I'm going to treat myself tonight, la, la, la. I miss it. And, like, you can still order food off of these apps. I'm just so paranoid that, like, the bag could be contaminated or the driver could have, like, you just don't know. So that's been freaking me out so much. I just haven't ordered anything. I'm just gonna get like a McDonald's cheeseburger and Blizzard. Well, Blizzard's Dairy Queen, but like McFlurry, and just chat out on that stuff when this is all over.
Yeah, it really has made us all, you know, everything that we didn't even realize that we took for granted. Just one of the small things of. I even have said to my friends who have, you know, I still wrestle occasionally, but I got a lot of guys that were still wrestling at the time. Hey, come down to my show, and it would be a 4-hour drive. And I'm thinking, drive 4 hours. And then, you know, I got an 8-hour round trip.
Yeah.
And now I kick myself. Why didn't I should have went. That's not really, you know, time wasn't really an excuse. If I didn't have gas money or something, that'd have been one thing, but I was perfectly capable of going to shows that I didn't go to. And I guess you can have no regrets, but those are some of the regrets that I have that are just make you think, wow.
Yeah, they're such little things. And it's not like we're acting spoiled or anything, because I feel like it's not even that we take them for granted day to day. It's just you realize like how much you miss the little things. And maybe after this, like you should be like, oh, we actually do have it like really, really good. It's not that we didn't know that before, but at the same time, it puts things into perspective when you miss like the tiniest of things. Like even going for walks, I have a dog, and I'm so used to letting him just like walk up to other dogs, or kids want to see him. And it's like, you don't want any contact with anything, or like a human will come up to you like 2 inches and you're like, what the hell, bro? Like, no.
So, which is exactly the way I am at conventions when I'm with you. Like, hey, get away from me.
No. Yeah. So that's like.
Yeah. And you and I have worked, I want to say many, but it's really like 3 conventions together, and have always had such a good time with our banter back and forth and your fans coming up. And I miss that. Even the times when we're like, oh my goodness, look at the time. And our talk would always be about, do you think we could leave and get some food and come back, you know?
It's so true. Every time Justin and I work a convention, like we'll be at the wrestling travel booth all day. We're talking to fans and like telling them about WT and like my brand and all that kind of stuff, selling merch. And then 2 hours out, we're like looking at our watches. Like, do you think that the faux place is still open?
Absolutely. When's a good time to leave for lunch? Because what was it in Baltimore? We passed something on the way into Baltimore. Oh, it was a faux place.
Yeah, we ate that.
Yeah, and then you went out.
It's really good.
You went out, and didn't you go out, and one of them were like, oh, it's not open anywhere. We were too late to get to it, but our big disappointments. So last thing I want to wrap up with, because I want to be very respectful of your time. And the fact that people have to look at both you and me, I want to be respectful of that too and limit the. I see a lot of sales going on in the merch store. So can you kind of give us kind of what you got going on right now? Or if nothing else, just tell us how we can get to your merch store.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you guys want to hit up the merch store, there's 3 ways to really access it. 1, just hit up the link. It's aliciatoot.bigcartel.com. The second way is to go to my website, which is just aliciatoot.com. There's a merch tab. You click it. And then the other way is just go on any of my social medias, and within the last day, you're guaranteed to see a post about it. So you can click the link from there as well. But my merch store, I have 3 different types of t-shirts in there. I love the newest design I have. It's very punk. It's black and white. Super cool. I have 8x10s, 4x6s, magnets, kiss cards, stickers, wristbands, pins, buttons, enamel pins, personalized videos. There's a lot. And I'm still trying to like invent even cooler, newer merch for people, because you just never know what people are going to like and how they're going to support you. And my site's completely DIY. So all the funding that goes into the traveling, if I'm not brought out places to host or interview or whatever, all of that comes out of my pocket. Same with my gear and everything. So anytime somebody spends like even $5, I'm just over the moon, because every little bit helps. So to see people support through this, I don't even think it's like overusing the word crisis right now. To see people still supporting and you know, making sure that I've been all right and I'm able to kind of still go from day to day and stuff. That's been so wonderful to see, and I'm really appreciative. So, yeah, that's my merch store. There's a lot in it. It's a lot easier to envision when you're online. It's very nicely displayed, but that's right. Where you guys check that stuff.
And that's what I want to get. I want people to go there. And one of the things that I'm not just saying this because we've sat next to each other on several different occasions, but when I think of my past, when I've gone up to meet somebody that I've admired and respected, being whether they were in the wrestling world or I've had some really bad run-ins when I was a child with some Green Bay Packers, right, which is my favorite team by far. And they were just, you know, the get out of here, kid, or something. And not even to me, just watching them with other people. But I can say that back you up on how much you truly appreciate each and every fan that has come up to you. When I'm sitting there at the wrestling travel booth, you're giving them that experience more than you're not the, hey, I'll sign your 8x10, get out of here. You're interacting and stuff. And I know that what, as a fan of anything, that gives me that personal experience too, because I've seen people come up to you more than once, or, hey, every time I am at a convention that Alicia's at, I stop by and get a photo. I stop by and get a picture. And you're awesome. That's why Wrestling Travel, we love you, and we're going to continue to work with you. Yeah.
I was so bummed. Like we announced that I was coming across the pond. We didn't announce for what. We're going to keep it. We're going to keep that under wraps for now. Hope, you know, rescheduling, but like, man, I love hanging out with you. I love the team. I was so excited to meet like all of the UK guys over there. You know, it's just, it's always such a pleasure working with you guys. It's fun. It's easy. It's just, you guys are such a good brand. So I'm just glad that we started this whole relationship, and I'm sure it'll be, you know, it'll keep on keeping on once all this is over. So
100%. You know, so we'll plan on anybody looking at this to meet up with Wrestling Travel and Alicia too at WrestleMania 37, if not sooner. But I really appreciate your time. And I know I said last question about an hour ago, but as far as my interviewing skills, on a scale of 1 to 10, now be honest, because I might have to do this again with other people, where am I ranking? And consider that I asked the poutine question too. Throw that in there.
Right. To give you perspective, I'd give myself probably like a strong 8.5 or 9, because I really still want to improve. So you, I'd probably give you, I don't even know. The poutine question brings you to like, let's say, I know you, Justin, so don't take this to heart. I'd say like a 4.5.
Oh my goodness. In my head, I'm like, if I could just reach 5, I'd be happy. But 4.5, I'm going to take, really? Because like, yeah, no. There's, you always have to improve. And the fact that.
Let's move it to a 5, because this was actually fun. And plus, you and I shoot the breeze all the time. Yeah. And so I'm just used to it. I think I'm picky when it comes to interviewers, honestly, because it's like how you mentioned, like, a lot of the time the questions are very similar about your beginnings and that kind of stuff. But it does come down to the personality too, not just the questions. So these were, it was fun.
And I give myself technicality, like, as I was prepping for this, I obviously do not have the best background. I'm hoping that I had my posters. I've been in this, I've got to clean the house type thing. And it's actually what I do is I live on a little tiny cabin on a lake, which is awesome. But I got a lot of junk that I'm trying to like declutter. And the more I declutter, the more cluttered I've gotten. Hopefully we can green screen this next time I do an interview or something. And I got a Skype follower, or Skype follower, a Twitter follower.
Right,
I don't know if you can have a Skype follower, but I had a Twitter follower. But great. So we thank you very much, and I will end this interview. Thank you very much, Alicia. We look forward to speaking to you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Well, next here on the podcast, we've got the exciting parts, the main event, the WT quiz round for Justin. The topic this week, it is not AWA, but there is an AWA question in there. It is testing your knowledge on our lockdown session guests. How does that sound for you?
Well, it sounds scary.
Go. Just some of the recent guests that we've had on. It may be not be things that you've discussed with them, but it is just information and bits from their career that I've pulled out for you to try and answer with. So are you ready for the first question?
As ready as I'll ever be. Let's try it.
Question one. The Beer City Bruiser won the Ring of Honor Tag Wars in 2016 with which other wrestler? Who was his tag team partner for that tournament?
I'm going to guess Silas Young.
Correct. You are correct with that one, JC. That is 1 out of 5.
Just recently had a birthday, our Beer City Bruiser did.
He certainly did, yes. And I think we celebrated by rewatching his part one, part two of his lockdown sessions there, which you can check out on our YouTube. And, of course, don't forget to subscribe, of course, to enter the WT1000 giveaway. We are nearly at 1,000. So as soon as we hit 1,000, we can start pulling out some winners and sending out some prizes there. I know JC is very excited to get that 1,000, aren't you, JC?
I am, and I just got to remind everybody that YouTube's algorithm, you can't, if you're busy, just wait till you have a few minutes to subscribe and then watch a video, let it play. We appreciate a lot of people just go, hey, man, I love what you're doing, want to support you. I'll go through and click subscribe when I'm at work. It's like, you know, you got to let a few of the videos play. Otherwise, I think YouTube thinks you're a robot. So it needs you to watch a couple minutes of footage. And of course, we try to give you the best entertainment that we can. So it's well worth watching. But when you have time and you're watching a video, please click subscribe.
That's awesome. Moving on to question two. And this one is about the interview queen, Alicia Atut. In what year did Alicia start Ambi, her music blog? Yeah, do you know what year that all began for Alicia?
2008 just pumped in my head because I believe she posted something about it recently. But I'm gonna risk it and go 2008.
You're very early on there, JC. 2013. Was the year that all began for Alicia.
I need to learn. I should be able to have a clause in my contract that allows me to, if I get the first question right, that we call it 100% and the quiz is over. My apologies to Alicia. I thought, what? Yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on in my head, I guess. I don't know where. Maybe 2008 will come in handy in the next question. I don't know.
Maybe. Question 3, 4 out of 5. Tyson Dukes. What year did Tyson make his pro wrestling debut? Very close.
I know we were right around the same time. Is he 96?
Still very close.
97.
Yeah, Tyson Dukes debuted in 1997. Was that the same year that you...
Same year.
You had
same year. I should have went with it.
Fantastic.
Same year being Shark Boy.
Yeah. Is it true that you were trained by Shark Boy?
It's not. There's an internet rumor going around that I was trained by Shark Boy, and it's... I want to put those flames out right now, and it was not Shark Boy. All respect to Shark Boy. But
yeah, 1997 there for Tyson Dukes, and he's still going strong today with the wrestling.
Hey, if you're an old school wrestling fan and you're not following Tyson Dukes on Twitter, what are you doing? You got to follow. He posts some really good content. Really great guy. Can't wait to talk to him again and have him do some stuff with us. But what a great guy.
Yeah, no, really, really cool guy. Question four. Should I give you that one there for question three? Since you were
just probably not. I messed it up.
We're only a year off. I may give you that one. But question four. Tim Storm wrestled on an episode of ECW on Sci-Fi July 17th, 2007. Do you know who his opponent was?
I have no idea.
Do you want to take a stab in the dark, I guess?
I'm trying to think. For some reason, I want to guess something crazy like Benoit and stuff, but when I go back to the Sci-Fi ECW, I don't even know who was Paul Burchill?
No, it wasn't Burchill. I'm just trying to think of a clue for you to try and get you over the line here. But he came onto ECW on Sci-Fi as a villainous heel, and was managed, I believe, by Matt Stryker at the time.
Is this person currently wrestling, and what organization are they wrestling for?
They are not currently wrestling at the moment. They sadly passed away a few years ago.
Oh no, okay. Tell you what, for the sake of time, I will respectfully admit that I can't even take a stab in the dark. Who do we have?
It was Big Daddy V. Viscera.
Oh, wow. Nelson Frazier.
Nelson Frazier, yeah. I think it was a squash match that it was against Tim there on that episode. But yeah.
But still, I'm going to look that up because I love Tim Storm. And I'd love to see that. So, and then watching Big Daddy V is always cool.
Yeah, some of the things that he could do in the ring, considering his size, was brilliant. But moving on to question five, this is the AWA question.
Oh, please. I'm one for four. I got to do something here.
So AWA Super Sunday 1983, does that event ring a bell, JC?
It does.
So Nick Bockwinkel faced Hulk Hogan for the AWA heavyweight title. But who was the special guest referee for that match?
I remember the results. It's so such a controversial. I have no idea. You know what I do know about Super Sunday? I do know that the heavyweight championship match, again, AWA, was not the main event.
No, it wasn't. It was not the main event. It was the second to last match there. But any ideas on the referee?
No, because you say special guest referee. And that could be anybody at that time. I know it's probably not a celebrity outside of the wrestling world, because I know Vern didn't really go that way unless they played for the Minnesota Vikings. Any clues on this one?
The only clue I could really give is that he was born in the United Kingdom.
Oh, now I got it. I think I have it. It's none other than Rod Trongard's former commentary partner. Does his first name start with Lord?
It does. It does start with Lord.
Lord James Blears.
That is the correct answer. Yeah, born.
Now is he pretty popular over there, or was he? Or he kind of made his name over here? Or? We have to do some James Blears research. I hate to put you on the spot.
No, from what I did looking at the research from you, he was born quite close to Manchester, actually, here in the UK. And he was selected for the 1940s Summer Olympics, but was unable to compete due to the World War. But in terms of his wrestling career, it looked like he relocated to the US 1946 and majority of his time was in the United States. So it's the first time I've heard of him, to be honest. But
really?
But yeah, made his sort of rounds in the US.
Well, let me ask you this, a serious British question. We have Lord James Blears. We had Lord Alfred Hayes. What does it take to be a lord over there? Can I be a lord? Or?
Yeah, I mean, if you fly over, you land, just tell them you're Justin Clapper, and I'm sure you'll be knighted as a lord immediately upon arrival, to be honest.
What's the difference? Knighted is when they call you a sir. What do you have to do to become a lord? You have any idea? Are you a lord yourself and you're just not telling us? His lordship, Danny.
No, I mean, if I'm honest, I'm not entirely sure what it does take to become a lord.
I think I already am a lord. You want to know why? Because a lot of times I've been given assignments by Mr. Lee McAteer, and I show him my results, and he always says, "Oh, my lord."
Yeah.
So I think maybe I already have it.
I think you've already got the title there. But, yeah, I'm not 100% sure what it does take or what the requirements are. But, yeah, there has been quite a few lords in the wrestling world, hasn't there?
Yeah, cool. So I got 2 out of 5. That's good. Oh, my lord.
Oh, my lord. Yeah, what I'm thinking, JC, and this is the first time I've put it to you in regards to the AWA, and I don't know if it would be a hit or not with the folks out there listening, is would you like to one day do an AWA watch-along live streamed on YouTube or on any other platform to actually watch and go through one of the events with having other people interact?
Brother, I'll do it right now. You ready?
Not right now. I'll have to schedule a time to do it, but I think that will be quite...
I'd love to do a watch-along for, like, Super Clash 3.
Yeah.
Only because I think that, you know, you're going to get your current fans are going to know Jerry Lawler. They're going to know the Rock and Roll Express. They're going to know Mick Foley. You'll get a chance to see the guys that I love, like Ricky Rice, Greg Gagne, Ron Garvin. I think that would be a good star-studded event.
Are they on the network?
Super Clash 3 is. Super Clash 2, Super Clash 3, and Super Clash 4.
Brilliant. So if we did do a watch-along, people can just watch along using the network.
Iron Sheik is at Super Clash 3, I believe. Terry Power is on there. Lee Marshall's the host. I mean, if you haven't watched that on the network yet, or even probably find it on YouTube, I highly suggest people check it out. Because what I always say about the AWA, and I know I'm going off on a tangent, is you had the mass exodus in the early 80s with Hulk Hogan, Bobby Heenan, and Mean Gene, guys like that, Jesse the Body Ventura, Adrian Adonis. And people thought, oh, the AWA died right there. But if you look at the stars that they had in the later years, 88 was not too far from closing. And I believe that's Jerry Lawler's last match. And that's a classic with Kerry Von Erich and Jerry Lawler unifying the world class and AWA titles. So I would love to do that.
Awesome. We'll get that scheduled in. And I mean, it'll be the first time I've ever watched it as well. So it'd be great to for it to be for the watch along, which will pencil in. So yeah, we'll get that coming further down the line. But thank you very much for everyone listening to this week's edition of the Wrestling Travel Podcast, and we'll be back next week with another edition where I believe we'll have a special guest from Sports Keto joining us. So we look forward to that. Any last words, Justin?
No, I think I talk way too much on these, so I think people appreciate people listening, but I am looking forward to doing another podcast next week. I'm looking forward to doing AWA watch along, and I'm looking forward to getting 1,000 subscribers on YouTube so we can give away some of these glorious prizes like this Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair signed event poster. And I'm looking forward to people finding out eventually when we can release what you and I have been working on behind the scenes. So yeah. Thank you to everybody.
Very exciting times ahead, and we look forward to everything that's coming in the future. But we'll see you next week. Take care and enjoy your weekend.